back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, this isn't going to help. Jesus Christ. Okay.
The scallywags.
Okay, these headphones are in fact broken. All right. So not only has someone stolen my headphones, now the replacement pair of headphones, look at this. The one ear comes completely off and dangles around like it was some sort of vestigial tail.
Do you want to trade with me?
I'm just
busy. I can deal with a broken headphone.
I'm just busy seething for a minute now.
It could be worse. You could have pain in the neckitis like Matt does today.
Yeah. All right, look at this. How are you supposed to use these headphones? They're half broken. It's what I get for stealing somebody else's headphones to replace my headphones, which have been stolen by someone.
Where were they stolen?
Well, how would I know?
Well, like, where did you put them?
Thanks, Mom. Do you know where you had them last? Why don't you retrace your steps? They were in my locker, where I keep all my stuff. And I don't lock my locker because, of course, I thought we were a company of men. I thought I worked with men. Men do not steal from one another.
Do you realize one key opens up all these locks?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a key to mine. That means I can start rooting around everybody else's locker and see where my headphones went.
It's not an urban legend. It really is true.
All right. So we hear, like, weird squalling or Hendrix-esque feedback just emanating from your radio speakers for no readily apparent reason. It's because I got one. I really can't explain to you how retarded I feel using headphones or half of them are falling off like they're one of Goofy's ears.
You do look pretty funny.
Oh, just shut up. What is your ass doing here anyway?
Nice dog here.
So Matt is where today?
Matt, I actually never got the memo as to where Matt was, but Matt is gone, apparently with some ear trouble. Kind of like you.
Yeah.
You obviously are having ear trouble as well.
With his actual ears. All right.
With his real ears.
All right.
So Sarah's with us.
Well, great. All right. It's 4 minutes, 16 seconds after the hour of noon, and this is the month of November, the year of our Lord. It throws off my whole rhythm. I'm all with the thing. What the hell I'm doing. All right, we're here with Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, as well as Christina Carlson, Sarah Dillon, your producers today. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-59. Who would go into a man's locker? A man's locker is it's a fortress, it's sanctuary.
During the weekend, people get bored.
It's your asylum. It's where you put things so you don't want anybody touching them. I don't even know if I want to use them if I find them now. God only knows what kind of ear goo everybody's got around here. Those freaky weekend people. Those guys that come in to do the car show, who knows what kind of people those are?
Car sales.
All right, anyway. We'd like to get on board today. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. You can also email. It's 1-8... I already gave that out. It's rick@rickemerson.com. See how it just thrown me off already? Coming up later on today, we got the top five coming your way. Also, the inaugural edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Your phone calls and all that. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. A Clackamas County judge has denied bail for Ward Weaver.
Sorry about that.
Is that you?
I can't control it. One of the earpieces on the headphones has totally come apart now. And every time I move my head, it swings around like it's a ball on the end of a mace. And
maybe
it's just
a little duct tape.
Clattering. All right. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
All right. Well, I'll make it through the story as quickly as possible. Anyway, here are the dead girl's mothers outside the courthouse.
The only thing I really have to say is I'm really happy with the verdict and that they're going to give him no bail. And I think it's mutual.
Exactly. That's all I wanted to say, is I'm glad that he's not getting out.
Wait, which dead girls are they? Oh, these are the dead girls.
Yeah, the
all
dead
right.
girls' mothers.
And so what, Ward Weaver staying in jail?
Well, there's no bail.
All right. Okay.
That's the story.
All right.
Not that it wasn't unexpected, mind you. Okay, so now we have this.
Wait, is Sarah
aren't
bringing
those
me
your headphones?
Now those aren't my headphones, but these are good replacement headphones. Look at how embarrassing this is. What kind
my
of
bad.
A
what happened to them?
I don't know. My headphones are nowhere to be found. They're just gone. They vanished like so much.
I guess they're making a great stocking stuffer for somebody this Christmas.
All right.
Anyway, we finally got this new Homeland Security office. Yeah. However, they don't even have an office yet, so they're searching strip malls for
Homeland Security.
Spot.
Can't even keep my headphones secure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, an airline safety advocacy group calls the Homeland Security bill that reached the president's desk a disappointment. National Air Disaster Alliance and Foundation member Tom O'Mara says the measure protects companies whose workers let the 9/11 hijackers onto the planes in the first place. Now we can't sue them.
Our organization and families feel that the security companies who failed us on September 11th should not have been forgiven as they were in this bill.
So there. And by the way, this bill also gives the airlines another year to have all those baggage inspectors searching through your bags, but it does give pilots the right to shoot customers.
Excellent. I wish I had the right to do that.
So that's that.
I wish I had the right just to shoot random. There ought to be one day a year where you can just kill people. I've thought this for a long time. Someday when I'm the grand unremovable dictator of the universe, yeah. It's going to be like one day a year you can just shoot anybody that needs killing. Because, you know, like somebody needing killing should be an acceptable legal defense like it was in Texas up until like... It was like 60 years ago, up until like 1940, it was a permissible legal defense to kill someone in Texas, go to court, and to use as your sole rationale and justification that he, quote, needed killing. And I think that ought to be brought back. Like for the person that stole my headphones, callously and with malice aforethought, for instance.
Yeah, somebody search your private property.
Sorry, I'm dwelling.
Anyway.
I bet it was those people that do the car show. I'll bet you anything, I bet you my bottom donut. Those are those. Who's that guy that does the fitness show?
Oh, he works with me. No.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't him. Was that Colin...
Hubler.
Hubler? Yeah, okay. What kind of a name is Hubler anyway?
I didn't ask. He's too big to ask.
It's a headphone-stealing name. That's what kind of a name it is.
He'll snap your neck like a twig.
Because there's a short list of people that can do that. That's an exclusive list of people. Because I'm so physically imposing and all.
Jesus.
All right.
Well, let's talk about more nastiness.
I'm moving on. I'm acknowledging.
Yes.
You don't even have the headphones anymore, so.
No, and you have the bad, defective headphones.
Actually, I fixed them, so.
No, but see, they're not going to stay fixed. That right earpiece is going to come off, though. It's
well, look, it works right now.
Look at that. Tell me what brand those are. Can you see the brand, Sarah?
Well, yeah, it's Optimus.
Yeah, that's Radio Shack.
All you really had to do was pop the slot back into the...
You are not have my goddamn headphones stolen in the first place. Optimus is a Radio Shack brand. That's one of those boutique brands that they have there. It's like Audiovox. You ever been in some guy's car? It's got the Audiovox stereo. Radio Shack is what that means. So that's what Optimus
Radio Shack is realistic.
No. Well, there used to be. Now, see, I follow the Radio Shack developments clearly because I'm.
By the way, Radio Shack is one of our proud new sponsors for the Christmas season. So go nice on them.
And fine products it is that they sell. Optimus, you just can't beat Optimus headphones.
That's the Christmas spirit we want to hear, especially for the new sponsors.
Let's move on.
Okay. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is fed up with the Saudis' lack of cooperation in the 9/11 investigation. He is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, so he's an intelligent fellow. Senator McCain agrees, saying the list of Saudi failures goes on and on and on.
I believe our government has been very lax in our efforts to make the Saudis cooperate in a broad variety of ways, and I think this has got to do with a long-term relationship that was probably important during the Cold War, keeping the price of oil down.
Damn straight, man. It's like as long as we're bombing everything over there anyway, we might as well just start bombing Saudi Arabia.
They're going to get there eventually.
No, seriously. Saudi Arabia has never done anything to help us. All they do is hamstring us every chance they get. And I don't mean to sound like some sort of America-centric jingoist who just wants to bomb everybody that isn't us, but I'm just saying, as long as we're... If it is predetermined, if it is a fait accompli that we're going to be making up a short list of people who have wronged us, we can put Saudi Arabia on that list because they're a bad country filled with bad people. Like 14 of like 80% of the hijackers came from there?
Yeah.
And yet we insist on attacking Afghanistan where no one came from, ever. Nothing comes from Afghanistan.
No one's ever seen a plane.
No, they don't even have chairs in Afghanistan. And Saudi Arabia, and we've been suckling on that teat for too long anyway. The petrol teat is what it is.
Well, McCain says the Bush people must release classified information. We must know this stuff.
It's also clear that the administration has not shared information with the intelligence committees, which is the reason why we have to have this independent commission and that commission be truly independent.
Right. Now, look at the way the Saudis turn this around. Their foreign policy man, Abel Jubar, says... The terrorists we're talking about will be questioned only if it seems absolutely necessary.
If we need to question them, yes, you bet we'll question them, absolutely. But I'm saying you had them for 3 months in detention in America. Your own government let them go after the FBI was satisfied that there was nothing there. Now you're telling us we should detain them and question them? Is this the implication? Does this sound reasonable?
It sounds reasonable to me.
You know what Saudi Arabia is? Saudi Arabia is like that really uppity rich neighbor you got that's the head of the neighborhood council or whatever the hell that is. What are those groups called? You know what I'm talking about?
Neighborhood
those,
watch.
Those, no, not the neighbor. No, that's the...
PTA.
Not the... No, that thing where you got the neighborhood coalition, they tell you you can't have pink flamingos in your front yard. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Your parents undoubtedly belong to one
They really do. They're not allowed to paint their houses like certain colors.
Yeah,
and
what are those groups called?
I don't know.
I'm all flummoxed today. See, now I've thrown off my whole day now. I'm all off kilter because of my lack of headphones. And because Matt's not here.
Well, here's something.
You can have Matt's headphones if you'd like. Would that make you feel better?
No, it wouldn't.
Here's something to make you feel better, though. This defense expert tells Preston Buchanan, we have ways of dealing with Saudi misbehavior. As a matter of fact, we have plans on the drawing board.
Oil is clear.
I mean,
but
that's what it's all about. 20% of our oil from the Middle East. We don't want to cut off that supply. And so we basically give the Saudis a pass.
Well, but I think whoever is in charge of that regime is going to sell us the oil. You also have to remember this, that the Defense Department, by all accounts, has already got contingency plans for seizing the oil fields in eastern Saudi Arabia if necessary.
We're going to take them from them?
So we seize them in Iraq and we seize them in Saudi Arabia. There.
We pump our own oil.
As he wrings his hands, we flee.
Pat Buchanan really is Ebenezer Scrooge. He really is. You can just see him rubbing his hands together and cackling with evil delight at some of these news stories. That's the thing. It's like there is no middle ground. We either have to get off the oil or we just got to go take over every country that's got it so we don't have to jump through these hoops every 5 or 6 years. You know what I mean?
And the funny thing is, our industries here don't use any oil.
No.
Microsoft use oil? No.
No.
We're doing this with the lazy Japanese. Can't even defend their own country.
Bunch of damn weaselly Japanese. That's exactly. Because it's like, you know what it is?
Who has oil heat anymore? Nobody.
All the oil wars, it's just, you know what it is? It's like when you get a Band-Aid on a particularly hairy section of your body. Did you ever get a Band-Aid like in your chest hair? Like I got the real hairy arms.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you get a Band-Aid on there, and then it comes time weeks later when the Band-Aid's got to come off, and there's two ways you can take the Band-Aid off. You can either yank the Band-Aid off all at once and you scream and then it's over, or you can like pull out one hair. You know, like every day for like a week until the Band-Aid's off. And that's what it is with all these oil conflicts we keep having. If we're not going to get off the oil subsidy. We just got to go over there and take everything over, and then it's going to be done, and it's going to be finished. We can annex off all the Middle East, and then it'll belong to us. And that's far preferable to having these stupid skirmishers that we have every 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's just going to be the same thing. Just yank the Band-Aid off and be done with it.
And what do we need all this oil for in the first place?
Because
these new cars, you don't even need an oil change for 100,000
miles. Because we're morons. I have this debate with Lara's family all the time.
Yeah.
And it should be noted, by the way, I apologize if I'm starting this week in a foul mood. I was in a perfectly acceptable mood until about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah,
when I discovered that someone cruelly and thoughtlessly took my headphones out of my box. The box is like the... You know, it's a fortress of solitude. It's like a sacristy, you know, where you keep things that you don't want to be passed around like a doobie at a frat party.
Well, what can we do to make it better?
I don't know. Anyway, what the hell point was I even making?
Talk about oil. Been arguing with the...
So it's like whenever I go to Burbank, and there's just not enough opportunities in this life to go to Burbank. You know what I mean? Never pass up a chance to go to Burbank, because it's just
Bob's big boys over there.
A little slice of heaven, isn't it? When I go to Burbank to see Lauren's retarded family, and we always get into these horrible discussions about politics and about the left versus right and about George W. Bush. And I remember getting into this huge argument with them about solar power one time. And, you know, I'm not some, like, patchouli guy. I'm not some tree hugger, but, like... It is the source of, like, all power and life in the known universe. You know what I mean? It just sort of makes it... The sun is responsible for everything in the entire world. It's brought to us by the sun.
Yeah, but it's not owned by Exxon.
Yeah, and so I get into these huge discussions where I talk about, you know, we ought to get off the oil, and we ought to have wind power, we ought to have hydropower for everything, we ought to have solar power, and they just sort of snort. You know, that snorting laugh that... They go, oh, please, like the sun could power the whole earth. And then they go back to have, like, more slices of Sara Lee cake. All right.
Say, why not liberate Iran after we mop up in Iraq? Asked the Senate deposed and now dead, Shah of Iran, Prince Reza Pahlavi.
The time has come to support the people once and for all. There's no reason to give more lifeline to a regime that has proven time and again to be unreliable, non-trustworthy, and certainly not committed to the same goals that the rest of the world has.
And being the son of the beloved Shah, the prince would be a likely candidate for a leadership role. He'll send W's resume.
All right.
Investigations.
All right.
And now, for a look at the world of entertainment, it's Fox News Channel's G-Block. Here's Shepard Smith.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots, about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a block party. And that's your news. And the G Block has launched report this Monday, November the 4th, 2002.
All right.
The most watched prime time.
Let's just start keeping a list of how many things have gone wrong today.
Yes. All right.
All right. Now, let's just bring the entire show to a halt here. So note that not only are my headphones missing 18 minutes into the show, they haven't been, the person who took them hasn't fessed up, they haven't been located. Now, the reason that that was ostensibly going to be funny is because Shepard Smith, see, it's all lost now, we've blown it now. You never get a second chance at humor. The thing that's funny about that is that Shepard Smith, while talking about J-Lo a while back, was talking about how she's the peeps from around the way or whatever have no love for her. And the phrase he was using is, and he said this on Fox News Live the other night, he said that they were more likely to give her a curb job than a, and the first word was blow. And he said it like right on Fox News, like he sent BJ right there. And so we were going to play it, but of course we wanted to bleep it. So we sent it back to Todd in the back room to be bleeped, but of course he just edited the entire thing out, which of course surgically excises the humor from it and renders it pointless.
These things happen.
But thanks for doing it so quickly, Todd, anyway.
Yeah, but you did
it. We gave it to him like 5 minutes before the show started. I'll do it for you guys, because you're my pals, and I'll drop what I'm doing.
Yes, but you did it with great efficiency.
You did.
We appreciate it. We're going to do something else, and then we're going to do some more stuff. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, Pat St. Clair from Atlanta is going to tell us about the latest trials and tribulations of the man we call Bobby Brown. Top five coming up later on as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. Stay there.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, now I'm all confused. Who's doing the traffic? Is it?
Well, Sarah's never really done the traffic. So,
why is Sarah here anyway? Shouldn't Clyde be here today?
I appreciate it.
No, I'm just saying.
No, you're just putting me into your little rambling of things that are going wrong today.
And there's no need to be pissy about it. I'm just asking a question.
Because she is very efficient at screening the calls, and then she can kind of learn how to do some of the other stuff. So.
I'm just saying that, generally speaking, in the order of seniority here, isn't it normally Clyde who's in when Matt can't be here? Because when Matt's not here, you get bumped up to Matt's job.
Right.
And then Clyde comes in and does your job. And
right.
Today, not so much.
Not so much.
I just got called in here.
So I've just been left out of the decision-making process altogether.
Left out of the decision-making process for sure. So.
Well, here's the traffic with Christina.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, that's better. All right.
You do feel better?
During the break, I found my headphones. Somebody put them in. And this is the thing. Somebody bothered to take. They took the time and the effort to go to my box. My box specifically, by the way. Get my headphones. Take them into the back production room. Use them for God knows what untoward purpose. Put them back in the bag and then leave them there. They were carefully repacked and then not replaced in my box. And I know I shouldn't be so anal retentive and type A about everything, but.
Well, just dust them for DNA.
What are you going to do? That's me. No, because I'd prefer not to know. Because it's going to be one of Clyde's creepy guests or something. So Clyde is in Los Angeles. Is it in L.A. or in Hollywood?
In Hollywood, I think.
Oh, is this for the TV show?
Yeah. The TV show for the sci-fi network.
I don't know if I should... Should I even mention that? Is it okay to say it?
His listeners knew.
Okay, well, the deal is they're talking about, by the way. So they're just speculating. They're talking about doing a television version of Ground Zero. The Sci-Fi Network is kicking about the idea.
It's a development.
Yeah, they're floating the idea of doing a TV version, a televised version of Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero, which would be cool. So I guess he's there for a meeting for that. All right, CNN Radio's Pat St. Clair going to join us here in a short while. Also, the inaugural edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk and Top 5. Let's go to the house of Rick. This is Tony. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick.
What do you got, man?
Hey, Sarah. I'm sorry if this hurts any chances you had at producing the Cavalcade of Wimpy. But the House of Rick would like to officially endorse Sarah as Christina's replacement.
Yeah,
thanks,
okay, I'm
going to
say that's
it.
A big black mark against you already.
Black mark?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm just saying.
Dude, how much are you going to cry over these headphones anyways?
What? No, I've got them back now. I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything is right with the world. Things are rotating properly under
Axes
once again.
Let's get back to business then.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Walter Sabo. I appreciate that. Thanks, Dad. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
The movie Solaris is yet another collaboration between filmmaker Steven Soderbergh and actor George Clooney. Clooney tells us how difficult it was in promoting this film.
The hardest part is, you know, here's a really brave film for a studio to make. And the problem and the difficulty with that is, how do you sell this? Because it doesn't fit into all those other boxes. It isn't a sci-fi film. It's basically a story about love and it raises questions on a really very heavy, plane.
In an outpost on the edge of space. You know the deal with Solaris? I actually kind of want to see it. It's about Clooney's on some space station that's orbiting some planet somewhere. And his dead wife just appears on the ship just like out of nowhere. She just sort of materializes in the flesh. And there's this whole debate about whether it's... I think it's a remake of some Japanese film or something, but I'm not... This is a big year for remakes of Asian films. Because the Ring is the same way. The Ring was like some film from... was some film from Tokyo or something that they remade. So I'm a big George Clooney fan.
George, tell us about the questions the film asked the viewer.
It asks about beliefs and about religion and about God and about love and about all of those elements, and it gives no answers on purpose.
Thanks, George.
Because they couldn't come up with answers.
Thanks for helping us out.
Basically, the answer is that whatever you come up with, you're right, but you have to make that decision yourself. And I think that's pretty amazing, really.
Yeah, people stay away in droves, won't they?
Now for the Bushwatch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's a price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
The Bush twins, who are 21 and can finally throw away their fake IDs, Janet Barbara, whose hijinks have given their presidential father headaches, and finally reach a legal age, you can have a cocktail without worrying about the cops. The fraternal twins, Janet's a sophomore at the University of Texas, Barbara's at Yale. They're planning a big party at the Bush Ranch in Crawford.
And those are the parties you want to be invited to. If you only get to one party this year, make it that one, man. You want to talk about, there's some girls that you can just look at them and a nasty is just written on their forehead like it was in 15-point Helvetica type. You know what I mean? It's exactly the same thing with those girls. You just know that they're up to no good. Like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, their entire life is predicated about, on being bad. It's exactly what I like. Them and that, because the thing is, it's like in 2004, it's a totally no-lose situation because them and those hot Gore daughters, too. The Gore daughters.
Oh, yeah.
They're fine to
he
look at
hot daughters?
Well. Gore? Oh, yeah, Gore daughters are damn cute. You know why? It's because, and you don't really think about this, because you just kind of visualize her. You always just view her as that PMRC mom. But Tipper Gore is not bad looking at all. Especially for however old she is, when she's in her 50s. Tipper Gore is very attractive. So those Gore daughters, there's nothing to sneeze at.
Yes, it is Bushwatch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. So welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent Pat Sinclair. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing... Well, somebody stole my headphones, Pat. I don't like to talk about my problems, but someone stole my headphones, and I just discovered them. But now, because I'm a radio person, I'm all concerned that they've got some sort of cootie or E. coli or something on them.
Little disinfectant spray.
The people ever steal your things at CNN? Would you say the people at CNN are generally good people, or are they generally not?
They're generally good people.
You don't ever come in, somebody's used your coffee cup without permission or something?
Oh, heavens no. But then again, I do put my coffee cup up where no one can get to it.
Right. Do you have a locker at CNN?
Yeah.
Do you lock it or do you leave it open thinking that no one would steal from you?
I lock it.
Okay, that's good. Don't ever start to trust the people you work with, because when you come in one day, headphones gone. Gone in the wind, Pat.
I know, it can be so disappointing.
It's people. People, Pat, they're the problem.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. So, Bobby Brown, now I... Man, you just need a full-on bingo card to keep track of what is up with this guy. So he's back in court. Straighten me out here. Is this contempt of court for something he did 5 years ago?
Yes. Well, actually, he was back to answer the charges, to ask that the judge would drop the charges from traffic difficulties that he had back in 1996. It was a traffic stop, and what happened was, when the court date came up, he did not show up. So, of course, you know, after a while, they issue a bench warrant. So then when he was arrested earlier this month, you know, they run a check, and that bench warrant came up. So he was back in court today asking that they drop all those charges since the incident happened in 1996, but the judge said no way.
All right. So let me ask you this. As a news person, who's generally considered to be the most unstable of the two? Is it Bobby or Whitney? Like, if you had to lay Vegas odds right now on which one is either going to be, like, dead or, like, nervous breakdown, would you say Bobby or Whitney?
I don't know. You know, that's hard to say because you can't really get inside of their lives. Yeah, look at Bobby. He seems like he's trying to work again. I don't know. Maybe he just needs to try to clean up his act a bit. And I guess we'll find out all about Whitney because, you know, she has a new album out, so she's starting to do interviews again.
See, and every time, let me just tell you this. Whenever I fire up my internet in the morning or whenever I open a newspaper, whenever I see the words Whitney or Bobby, it just sends, like, my heart just races a little faster because you know that whatever the story is going to be vastly entertaining.
Well, you know, they're, you know, stars, celebrities, I guess. You know, those people have a different lifestyle than you and me.
She says with a note of envy. She says with a note of bitter jealousy. It's like seeing the words Kim Mathers. You know what I mean? You just say, today is going to be a good day for there is entertainment about.
There you go.
All right, Pat Sinclair. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Right,
bye-bye.
CNN Radio. All right, there you go.
She sounds like a fun gal.
Yeah. Maybe Pat and the Bush Daughters and we can all go out together.
You had her giggling.
It's because I'm an amusing guy.
You are an amusing guy.
Do you ever
guy.
Wonder if the CNN people go back and they talk about, like, hey, there's this weird jerkwater station in Portland we always have to talk to. Rick Emmer, have you ever had to talk to those people? They're really bizarre. They're in an outpost on the edge of space.
Why are you using that voice?
Because I love that voice. Because I can't, because I'm not Clyde. I can't really do voices. You know, I can't do, you talk to Clyde. Clyde can do, you know, Clyde does every, he does Gore, he does Ren and Stimpy, he does, you know, he does everything. But I can't do any impressions or voices. That's the only thing I can do. The only thing I can do is the WB voiceover guy.
And the DJ voice.
Well, I can do the DJ voice. I can do the, yeah. But that's if you had, that's especially good if you got a song that I can talk up the post on. But the only voice I can do is, tonight, on an all-new Gilmore Girl. That's it. And it's like, there's limited applications for that. Like, you can't impress people with that at a stand-up club or something. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Thank you very much.
You just sound asthmatic. You sound like my grandmother right before she kicked it.
Anyway.
I'm not leaving you anything.
I'm ready to meet my maker.
You know, my grandmother, here's a funny story. You want to know my family in a nutshell? My grandmother had quite a lot of money when she died, not because she was wealthy so much as just because my grandfather had a big pension because he worked at what they call in Kennewick the area. He worked out at the Hanford Nuclear Facility. And she was just a big, lousy skinflint. She never spent any money on everything. Like, I swear to God, she just, like, when my father was growing up, she sent him to the vet doctor. You know, it's like, I broke my leg. We're going to the animal doctor. You know, it's just like to spend no money. My grandmother dies, and she leaves my father a dollar. Like, pointedly, leaves him a dollar in the will. And, you know, leaving somebody a dollar is like leaving your waitress a 5-cent tip. It says, I didn't forget you. I just don't like you. In an outpost on the, here's Tim.
Well, here's an idea that won't catch on, sadly. Loving turkeys instead of eating them. Farm Sanctuary in upstate New York has birds for adoption. People think they make great pets.
Just visiting here and spending time with the turkeys, we realize that they're so friendly and so affectionate. And
they respond to kindness like our dog would. So it's nice to show them some compassion on Thanksgiving instead of eating them.
It's brain the size of a pea. Why would you... All right.
We're not done yet. Those wanting to adopt a turkey are subjected to a home inspection and tireless questioning.
Farm Sanctuary visits the homes of adopters to make sure that, in fact, these animals will have a good life, that they have proper facilities, that the people have a good veterinarian that they can work with. And we also maintain close contact with adopters in case they have questions about taking care of turkeys or other farm animals.
This is a turkey, right? The thing. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Why would you possibly... It's like those people that have like, pigs for pets. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the country. It's like these people have these, like, these really weird, bizarre pets. Like, growing up, I knew a guy that had, like, a D... Whatever you call it. A D-scented skunk. You know, where they go and they take the scent gland. But it's like, why would you possibly want a skunk for a pet? You know, that's like when... that's, you know what having a turkey is? Having a turkey for a pet is, I have no personality. I'm not going to feign personality by having some bizarre, weird, off-the-wall pet. You know, the only reason I have a hedgehog is because it's basically like having a rock. Having a hedgehog is it's like it placates my girlfriend so she doesn't bitch at me about not having a dog. We don't have to do anything with it. Doesn't walk around. It's like the size of a koosh ball. You know, it just sits in its cage. Doesn't need to be. You don't need to talk to it. It doesn't like you to touch it. Doesn't like any human contact. Wants to be left alone with the door shut and the lights off all the time. It's the low maintenance pet. It's like having a pet brick or something. And having a turkey is just retarded.
By the way, turkeys live for 7 years if you don't eat them.
Right.
And they're easy to housebreak. They even knock on the door with their beaks when they wish to go outside to do their business.
Well, that's kind of cute, though. All right. Am I being grumpy today?
Not really.
I don't know.
Where would you rate my grumpiness? Let me ask you this. 1 being not grumpy at all, 10 being just phenomenally grumpy. Where would you put me right now?
I think that you're about like a 5 or 6, but you're on the way, if you continue with this trend, to go up.
You're trending
up.
My outlook is bullish.
Yeah. So if I'm thinking, you know, 2.5 hours from now when the show ends, if you continue at this rate, then you will be up.
Let me just list, by the way, while we're talking about things trending and things going badly, wasn't Richard Nunn from the WB supposed to be here that not just today, but actually this hour?
Yes, he really was. But he called.
Well, no, to say what?
To say that he has a remote in Woodburn, so he will not be with us.
Because that's an irreplaceable opportunity.
Well, but that is his job.
What's he doing a remote in Woodburn for? They don't even speak English in Woodburn.
I don't know what he's doing down there, but I know that he couldn't be here because he's going to Woodburn. So,
man, you know, out in Woodburn, it's just one pawn shop and taqueria after another. You know what I mean? I mean,
they speak English at Fry's very well.
Yeah, well, that's not in Woodburn, though. That's
Fry's is
in Wilsonville.
Right? So. The outlet malls are in Woodburn. Man. There's a Walmart in Woodburn.
What a big surprise that is. Yeah. It's like saying there's a bail bondsman in Woodburn. Let's all take a step back in shock. I was at Fry's this weekend. Can I tell you, if you ever wanted to know, like, what a dull person I am, like, if you ever wanted to quantify the amount of dullness that is present in my life, you know what Laura and I did on Saturday night? Went to Fry's.
Wait a minute. That was her birthday, right?
Like 90 minutes. We went to Fry's for like an hour and a half.
So you went to Fry's for an hour and a half on your girlfriend's birthday.
This is what we did on Saturday. We went to, where the hell did we eat? Oh, we ate at some German place. But we went to Mount Angel and went up there to watch the monks do the chanting. And then we went and wandered around Fry's for 90 minutes. And then we went home and we watched a DVD and fell asleep on the couch. Happy birthday.
You didn't go to Cold Stone?
No, we went to Cold Stone on Friday. Man, can I just tell you, you want to talk about a living, walking, breathing hell? You go out to Beaverton or whatever the hell that place is on a Friday night. It's just like one. And there was a group. There was, I kid you not, a Christian high school had come to Cold Stone on a bus. Because we're inside and we're going like, what is with all these goddamn teenagers? And they all had writing on the side of their face. You know, you're in high school and stupid. You write like, go team or, you know, beat Davis High or whatever on the side of your face, like when you go to the game. And it all says, and all the girls had writing on their face. It said WBC. And I guess that's like some Christian school. It was like Wabash Baptist something or other. So we go into Cold Stone, and it's just like endless, like 17-year-old blonde girls in Abercrombie shirts, just as far as the eye can see. So we did that on Friday. But yeah, Saturday, just all about, it was just monks and Fry's. That was the extent of our birthday
and
celebration.
And German food.
Yes, don't I sound exciting? All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. All right, I think I'm getting back to normal. I think I'm approaching some sort of emotional...
You're trending down?
I'm approaching some sort of emotional equilibrium. It's 503-250-1080. We got more on the way, including the top five. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
I feel safe in New York City. I feel safe in New York City. I feel safe in New York City. I feel safe in New York City.
Hello, this is Rick Emerson.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I feel like we should get to go back and do this whole news hour over again.
Because that would be so fun.
Because then you got 2 weeks left before your ass can leave.
I'm not trying to be sassy, but it can be kind of stressful. I want to make sure that I don't play wrong cuts.
At least you had headphones.
Yeah, I did have, but I gave my headphones to you, so.
And I appreciate it. Here's Christina with the trip.
Actually, things still look pretty clear throughout the city. The Banfield East.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. Rick, funny how things work out, huh? Think of all those secret or not-so-secret thoughts of yours. Fantasies of you bending Christina over the control board. All the times Christina had to bend over backwards to save your sorry ass. I see a pattern here. In a small way, Rick, I think you determined her destination. I hope the new sidekick chick will have as much class, personality, goodness, and patience as the departing Mrs. Carlson, or just bigger boobs. That'd be good. Later, dude, Andy. All right. 1-800-737-5955. This is Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Time for the penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. Take a look at my enormous
penis. Rick, where did you get this? I heard this song
today. Just a little something that Take Six knocked off in one of their off days.
No, I just...
She heard it on another radio station today.
Really?
Yeah, when I was flipping through the dial. It was an FM one.
Was it Howard? Somebody told me that Howard has played this. I don't know. He may have had it first. I don't know. I've had this song. It's a group called The Bobs. They're an a cappella group from L.A. They had a hit called... They had a song called Christmas in Jail a while back that it was kind of a novelty song that got played. But that's... I grew up listening, like a lot of radio people, to Dr. Demento. And Dr. Demento used to play The Bobs all the time. And that's where I got that from. So it's probably been played somewhere else, though. All right.
Well, laptops have always been a hot item, but a 50-year-old scientist didn't realize to what extent until he... burned his penis. The previously healthy father too remembered feeling a burning sensation after he'd been ready to report at home for about an hour with a computer on his lap.
You know, and any time the words penis and burning sensation are in the same sentence, it's going to end poorly.
Yeah, it's painful. He noticed redness and irritation the following day, but it wasn't until he was examined by a physician.
Why would you not stop when you felt the burning? I mean, didn't we feel the burning like a sentence and a half ago? Why would you continue to... Well, there's a burning sensation in my genitals, but I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Like, you just... Like, at what point would you not stop to investigate the cause of your genitals feeling like they're burning? I mean, I don't know what kind of asbestos covered genitals you got, but I feel a burning sensation. I'm stopping to check that out.
Anyway, let's look at the medical report here. The ventral part of the scrotal skin had turned red, and there was a blister with a diameter of about 2 centimeters, which is 0.8 inches. That from the Karolinska Institute of Sweden in a letter. 2 days later, the blisters broke and the wounds became infected.
Oh, come on.
It took about a week until the unidentified scientist was healing quite rapidly.
Jesus God.
The computer manual did warn against operating it directly on exposed skin, but
so
the
he was nude. Yeah. So he was using the laptop on his exposed penis.
Yeah.
So he didn't have any clothing on. All right.
Anyway, the patient had lap burns even though he had been... Oh, wait a minute. He had lap burns even though he had been wearing trousers and underpants.
I'm suspicious. I don't think. Did you ever do that? Did you ever sit down on like the hot leather sofa, you know, when you don't have any clothes on or you'd only have the shorts on and you sit down there and it's just the burning? And then there's the when you stand back up. All right. There's your penis watch for Monday.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
And I'll guarantee you that he did not have clothing on, but he just changed the story when he got to the hospital. Because they must have said, like, were you wearing underwear when your penis was burned? And he obviously wasn't. Not unless your laptop is powered by plutonium. You know what I mean? What is it? Well, it's a coal-burning laptop. I mean, you would have to have been nude. It's like those guys... You'll see those stories occasionally about some dude that catches his weenus in a vacuum cleaner or something. And it's like they always had that. What were you doing? Well, I was cleaning the house and I just happened. And clearly they were engaging in some sort of an activity with the vacuum cleaner. But I don't know that it was cleaning in any conventional sense. You know what I mean? But they always do this retcon on the story where they go and they retroactively apply clothing and, you know, and then I came down the stairs accidentally. All right, here's Steve. You're on Hot Talk, Indicate Decay. What's up?
Yeah, Rick, I was listening to you talk about your headphones and, yes. You know, how nervous you were about wearing them. I was wondering if you remembered on the machine gun shoot when I offered you my headphones and you generously offered your earplugs to me.
Oh, this is Steve who went on the, Steve and his lovely daughter Amanda went on the machine gunning trip with Fairly Honest Don.
Yes.
Yeah, well, but what are you going to do? We were firing an M60. We had this huge belt-fed M60 we're firing into the swamp, right? And so, and it's loud. I mean, it's not loud like, you know, like when you have your stereo turned up a few notches too, you know, too high. I mean, it's loud like it'll cave in the side of your head. And it'll blow the cilia right there, right out the other side of your skull. And so he's getting ready to fire it, and I have these earplugs which have been jammed into my, like, you know, they're all nasty, you get all my ear goo all over them, and I'm like, here, Steve, would you like my earplugs? And, like, I didn't stop to think about how revolting that probably sounded. It just seemed like a nice gesture at the time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was an expression that picked up on it afterwards.
Yeah, because he got that expression like somebody'd offer him a sun-dried badger. You know what I mean? It's, no, I'll pass on that, thanks. All right, that's Steve. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
See what's on TV tonight. It's Erin Brockovich. That's on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, whenever you don't. Isn't it Julia Roberts' weekend?
Yes.
Okay. And we've got some new definition of weekend where it starts on a Sunday, because last night they were playing...
Runaway Bride. I think that they did...
Jesus Christ, how do you know that?
Watched it.
Okay.
I watched part of it.
Oh, come on.
Just a piece of it. I was just flipping through, though, because I was watching The Simpsons.
That's another
and the...
black mark against Sarah as future producer. Hold on. Watches Julia Roberts. I can see you watching it, Christina, because you... Because you're you.
Okay, who's
you're...
the one that knew it was Julia Roberts' weekend, though?
Well, because I heard the Amy Faust from the Mike and Amy Show talking. It's Julia Roberts' weekend, because that's something you don't want to miss. Are there any more horrifying words in the English language than Julia Roberts' weekend?
I don't think that it started on Sunday, though. I think that... Because I know that they're doing my best friend's wedding at some point, too.
God.
So maybe that's tonight.
How do you even know this?
I don't know. I listened to Tim. Tim talked about it last week, I believe.
All right.
Possibly. Ken Burns, American Stories tonight, Mark Twain, Tragedy and Bad Financial Decisions.
That's a great documentary. If you haven't seen, is it part one or part two?
Part two.
If you haven't seen the Twain thing, man, see Ken Burns as Mark Twain. It's really, really good. It's probably the best single thing I've ever seen about Twain. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250. Today we got more on the way. Later on today, Richard Nunn will be joining us by hook or by crook. We've also got the top five coming up, the inaugural edition of How Chicks Think, and more of your phone call. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Well, I'm not the crap off.